Thank you, Paul, for reading that. And thank you to Grace for putting a passage in the bulletin this morning. If you put those things together, you could probably figure out that I'm going to be taking a look at fools today, which seems appropriate, being April 1st, what we traditionally refer to as April Fool's Day. Alexander Pope, in 1709, coined the phrase, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread." He wrote that in an essay on criticism, and since that time it's been copied numerous times. Edmund Burke, in a book in 1790 about the French Revolution, used that phrase. Abraham Lincoln, in a speech in 1854, talking about the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which helped lead to Bleeding Kansas and all kinds of problems, used that phrase. It's been in book titles, song titles, movie titles, on and on and on. Basically, the phrase, "fools rush in where angels fear to tread," means that people who are not making good decisions will do things that those who are wiser or more thoughtful would avoid. People will do things without thinking them through, where others would stand back and say, "Wait, I don't think this is a situation that I would want to get into." April's Fool Day seems like a perfect time to consider where fools would rush into. The Bible is to teach us wisdom of how to live a godly life. Proverbs especially is a book that has a lot on that. I debated back and forth as to whether I should have Paul read what he did, Proverbs 26 or Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1 talks a lot about wisdom and the importance of understanding the wisdom of God. And so as I take a look at this, my goal actually is to really consider wisdom. But one of the good, easy ways to understand something is to understand what it isn't. If you want to understand what wisdom is, then you understand what it isn't. If you want to be wise, then don't be a fool. And so that's going to be kind of my concept today. Now, as I went through and started on this, and I started looking up the word fool, it comes up 80, 90 times, depending on what translation you're looking at. And actually, there are several different Greek or Hebrew words that are translated into fool in our English Bibles. But all of them have sort of a common thread. The idea, when we talk about a fool in the Bible, is that it's talking about people who are making bad decisions, people who are ignoring advice, people who are basically just doing things that others would say that's not what you should do. We're not talking about a fool in the sense we're not talking about actual mental capabilities, we're not talking about intelligence, we're talking about this is what you should do and you didn't do it. And that's definitely a trait going through here. So my goal today basically is I want to first of all take a look at different types of fools. I've kind of come up with some categories, some qualities of fools as they come across in the Bible. Secondly, I want to basically examine how we can fall into those things, how we can maybe become a fool in this category or that category. And then finally, of course, I want to suggest ways that we can avoid being fools and instead hopefully be wise. Now, one of the very common traits that I see over and over again that all fools tend to have, And by the way, I've got several different passages I'm going to go through today. I've tried to set them up so a lot of them are in Proverbs, a lot of them are in Psalms, and I've tried to get it set up so we kind of go in order to make it easy for those that like to flip to them. First of all, though, I'm going to turn to Matthew, and this is one that people are very, very familiar with, I think. But Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, this very clearly points out a trait that I think all fools tend to have. Matthew 7, starting in verse 24, says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So you have here, obviously, the difference between the two is that people who are willing to follow their own ideas instead of basing decisions on the Word of God would be considered fools. And as you can see here, the idea is that those who, it says, hear those words of mine and put them into practice, they have a solid foundation. they're not foolish. Those who hear those words, don't put them into practice, are those that the house falls down. And this is a common trend, I think, that as man, we can fall into this trap. We can rationalize with the best of them, okay? We're very good at making excuses for our actions. We're very good at justifying whatever it is we want to do. I think of the story I heard of the guy that was trying to lose weight. He was overweight, heavy set, worked in an office, and he had told everybody he was going to be on this diet. He was going to start eating healthy. And he comes in one day with a box full of donuts. And they said, what happened to your diet? We thought you were trying to lose weight. And he said, I decided on my way to work, if I went by the donut shop and there was a parking place right in front, then I'd go ahead and stop and get donuts. It was meant to be. And they said, wow, that's great. And he said, yeah, seventh time around the block, there was the parking place. So we can rationalize and make excuses for all kinds of different things. And I kind of came up with a little way to help me remember anyway. A fool is one who follows their own logic. To follow one's own logic, your own ideas. Instead of basing it on truth, instead of basing things on the Word of God, then you would be considered a fool. And so those are some things I want to take a look at. Now, like I said, there's several different examples, and I've tried to put them into categories, because I think sometimes if you can take things and you can sort of categorize it, put it into some sort of format that's easier to remember or keep track of, then that makes it maybe a little bit easier. The first category of fool I came up with is one that I don't think is necessarily a likely problem for most of the people here today. Fool is a person who tries to write on a whiteboard. One type of fool is a troublemaker, someone who basically just is looking for problems, wants to create a bad situation. I have several examples of this. First of all, Proverbs 14:16. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless." Proverbs 20:3. "It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." Proverbs 29:11. "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." And then finally, Ecclesiastes 7:9. "Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools." So here we have examples of people who actually, you know, physically try to create some sort of confrontation, tries to create some sort of problem. As I said, we've seen people like that. I've had students like that. I know that there's people that just constantly seem like they want to battle, they want to stir up trouble, they want to cause problems. But I think for us, maybe the bigger danger might be to some degree of that. Okay, that we can easily become angry in a situation that really it's not justified, where it's really where our actions would reflect poorly on us, would reflect poorly on what we would consider a Christian to be, but we're caught up in the moment and we do something. Maybe somebody cuts us off in traffic. Maybe we're tired of waiting in that long line at the store. Maybe we see something that's not what it should be, but we tend to overreact. Those would be, I would consider, foolish responses and foolish situations. So one type of fool is that would be considered a troublemaker. The second type of fool that I want to take a look at is someone who is self-centered, fool that basically looks at himself or herself only. First of all, Proverbs 12, verses 15 and 16. "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult." Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions." And Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe." So here's a person who basically doesn't consider others, only is focused on his own ideas, can't be wrong. I work with a guy that's like this. We'll be out in the hall. Teachers are sort of weird. We have conversations for 5 minutes throughout the course of the day while we're out supervising. And I've got a guy that he'll come out in the hall, and he always has these ideas about what should be going on at school or whatever it is, but he'll sort of state his case, and then someone else will make, and he goes into his room. He's made his decision. He's right. Whatever it is, there's no interest in knowing what other opinions might be or anything like that. That's an example of a fool. It's a person who's not willing to even consider that there's anything else out there. Again, they're following their logic. End of story. I'm right. Deal with it. That's one type of fool. And we definitely could get into trouble with that ourselves as we just go through our lives and interact with people around us. And obviously here I'm talking about non-spiritual matters, I'm not talking about salvational issues. I'm just talking about just various things through the course of the day that we run into. Make sure that we don't have an attitude of a fool. The third category, would be a fool who avoids correction. And to me, this is a little bit worse than what I was just talking about. Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. A little bit later in that same chapter, Proverbs 1, 20 through 22, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? And then Proverbs 15 and 5 says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent. So again, here I think this is a little bit different situation than that is it was just self-centered. This is a person who's aware that they're doing something wrong, or they're aware that their opinion or attitude isn't correct, but they're not willing to change it. Okay, it said that they despise wisdom, they hate knowledge in 1:22. So they're not willing to consider. They've been exposed. They've heard that argument. It's been pointed out to them that they're incorrect. And this is just sort of stubbornness. This is what I would consider to be force of habit. Well, I've done it this way forever, and therefore it's the right way to do it. This is a personal example for me that I dealt with. I grew up in a different denomination, and that was a battle for several years, really, for me. I grew up in this church, and my family's in this church, and it must be right. It's good enough for my family, it's good enough for this, etc. And then slowly over time, I finally realized I was being a fool, and I wasn't in the church. I was in a place that called itself a church, and that's definitely an area that could be dangerous. But anything like that, again, where our behavior, where it's this, it's the way it's always been, it's the way maybe what we're seeing more and more now is society accepts this. It's societal doesn't seem to have a problem with it. This group of people that are saying, well, that's wrong, that's incorrect, that's immoral. Look, it's on a TV show, can't be wrong. It's in the newspapers, it can't be wrong. That obviously is foolish behavior. Fourth type of fool I came up with is those who basically want to spread their own ideas. In other words, they basically want to just hear themselves. They want to make sure that their ideas are the ones that are out there. And again, not necessarily willing to listen to other views and trying to sway people, basically, that their ideas are correct. Proverbs 15 and 2 is an example of this. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. And then also Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. Ecclesiastes 10, 12 to 14. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. At the beginning, his words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness. And the fool multiplies words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell him what will happen after him? So they just keep piling on more and more. They argue in circles. They make statements that aren't correct, just sort of hoping that you'll fall for them. I've had students that are in debate that say that's sometimes a strategy that they'll use in debate, that they'll talk real fast and say a whole bunch and hope people don't catch on that some of what they're talking about isn't right, and they won't get called on it. Just Friday, as a matter of fact, one of my classes, we had a little bit of time left at the end of the class. We did this review thing where I gave them a piece of paper with a historical event. And I said, all right, get in order. Okay, the oldest event over here and on the way down through the row. And I've got this one kid in that class that I would definitely say fits this category. He likes to talk. He likes people to know that he's right. The only problem is oftentimes he isn't. And on this particular day, he had actually somebody else had one. It was the Peace of Westphalia. It was a treaty that ended the 30 Years' War in the 1600s. And he knew that was a different treaty. So he was going in, and at first people go, no, it should be here, no, it should be there. And the longer it went, he started arguing and making up all this stuff about it that was from the wrong treaty. And more and more people were convinced. And it was kind of entertaining for me, which tells you how easily I'm entertained. But anyway, what ultimately happened was is they're lining up in the back of the room where there's all these textbooks. And this one girl, one of the few that were willing to stand up to him, she grabbed the book and flipped it open. Look, 1648. And you can just see the air escape from his ear as his head slowly shrunk down. But that's the type of fool we're talking about, where it just, I'm right, I'm going to explain it, I'm going to keep explaining it until everybody agrees with me. And again, we can get into this danger ourselves. We need to make sure, and again, I'm not talking about salvational issues here. I'm just talking about whether it's something related to the church, whether it's something related to our daily lives. We want to be careful that we act in such a way that would not be considered foolish. Fifth category of fool, this is becoming, I think, a little bit more serious now, are those that focus on worldly things. People who are spending their time, their efforts, their energies on things that definitely aren't worthy. Again, the Bible should be the basis. I started out by saying that a fool is a person that ignores the Word of God and what it teaches. The first passage I want to look at here, and I'm not going to read through it because I think most of us are familiar with this, but Luke 12, verses 15 through 21, the parable of the rich fool. And this is the guy who wants to, tear down the barns, build bigger barns, etc. I will read the last couple verses. Luke 12, verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." So if we're focusing too much on worldly things, then we would be a fool and ultimately can face severe punishment for that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 through 25 has similar warnings for us there. Romans, first chapter, starting in verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Everybody can understand the power of God. Verse 21, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised." So here we have dangers of idolatry in this, both of those passages, Luke 12 and Romans 1. Again, the danger is focus on worldly, and that could be all kinds of things. We've heard several times from up here that idols can be all kinds of things. Idols can be that new car that we need to have. It could be our job. It could be anything that is worldly in nature. And so we need to make sure that we are placing spiritual things as a top priority and focusing on that. I'm reminded of the song J-O-Y, "Jesus First, Yourself Last, Others in Between." If we're focusing on that, then we should not have any trouble with becoming this type of fool. But in our world today, in the society that we live in, it's very hard not to be consumed by worldly desires. If you get the gospel message, the most recent one, I think it was the most recent one, Rick Sparks talked about politics, but in that essay, he talked about the wealth and prosperity and success of the United States and what a blessing it is to live in the United States. But that also creates for us some dangers because we are so blessed and because we see so many things around us that are not spiritual. We have to be careful. The next type of fool is one that rejects grace. If you've been here the last several Wednesday nights, well, not last week where we started in Ephesians, but the weeks before that, we had 3 weeks where Steve Crane did a very good job of summarizing the book of Galatians. Galatians 3 and 1 says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." And Steve spent a lot of time talking about how basically the Galatians were wanting to give up the grace of God in exchange for the law. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily a danger, but I do see how sometimes people can become legalistic over things that aren't important. One of the things that was discussed on those nights was the dangers of what we refer to as those disputable matters, things where people can get all caught up in the order of service or how we do a basket dinner or something like that, and how churches have split over the years over very foolish things. And oftentimes it's because we like order, we like rules and stuff, and we can oftentimes get caught up in that. I don't know that there's too many of us that I'd be worried about wanting to go back to the Mosaic Law. But I can see how where various doctrine can slowly creep in, and how people can be focused on those types of things rather than on the very simple gospel message that's given. And again, in the world around us today, there's many different denominational groups that I would say get caught up in that, where they focus on this item, that item, or whatever the case might be. Fools don't prepare. Fools don't prepare. Again, another passage I won't read because I think it's fairly familiar to us, but Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the foolish virgins. And here you have this group of 10 virgins, and 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. That's what it says in verse 2. And clearly, there are those that are not prepared and ultimately do not get to join in with the bridegroom because they didn't have enough oil, etc. The key thing here is, as it comes across, verse 13, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." We don't know when the end will be. We don't know when the final judgment will be. We don't know when our last moment will be. And if we're not prepared, if we're not living our life in a way that it could come at any time, then we obviously are very foolish. I had a friend in high school. He was more of a friend of an acquaintance of a friend. He wasn't a real close friend of mine. But anyway, he had gotten into some trouble. He had very clear rules. You know, he was not supposed to be with this other person. He went to their house anyway, and his car broke down there. So he had to call home and say, "Car's dead. Oh, where are you?" Mike's house. So that didn't go real well. Obviously, that type of thing could happen to us. You know, I always think someone has said, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody talked about, you know, if you decided to skip Sunday service for whatever reason, just because you wanted to, you know, I get a head start on my golf game or do this or whatever, and you decided just not to bother to be here, and that's the time that Christ returned, you know, how are you going to explain that one? If you're doing anything that's sinful in nature, that would be a bad predicament. We should always live our life as if the end is imminent. And then finally, the last category and definitely to me the most dangerous category of fool is those that reject God. Psalms 14 and 1 says, "For the director of music of David, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good." Psalm 74:18. Remember how the enemy has mocked you, O Lord, how foolish people have reviled your name. Proverbs 14:9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. And, oops, I got this from out of order. And Proverbs 13:19. Oh, there it is. Okay. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. So here we have what I say is the greatest danger, the worst type of fool, those who just outright reject God. And basically, I'm not going to correct my ways. I've heard this. You've talked to me. You know, we all know people that we've had spiritual conversations with, that we've discussed items, and at some point they just shut us down and say, I'm not interested. And obviously, we fear for their souls and problems. Now, the opposite of all these things, of course, would be biblical wisdom. And there's numerous examples in the Bible that talk about this. I'm just going to mention a couple real briefly here as I'm running low on time. Psalms 111 and 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise." And just on from there a little bit, Psalms 119, 98, 99. "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." And the last passage I'll turn to for this morning, James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteous is sown in peace by those who make peace." So the key thing I would say, if we want to understand what it is to be wise, we want to avoid being a fool. And if we want to be wise, we should pursue the things listed there. Pure, peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, etc. All of us have the potential to be fools. All of us have the potential to make foolish decisions. And as is the custom, we will invite those that want to take part in the invitation to do so. If you're a member here, if you have accepted the gospel message and have made some sort of mistake, if you have done something foolish that requires help, if you need assistance, if you need to ask or get forgiveness or something like that, then please do so. But the key thing would be those that are in that category that have rejected God up to this point. I would argue that as the things I've looked through, that the wisest people are those that have heard the word of God, believed in the gospel message, repented from their sins, confessed their faith, and been baptized for the remission of those sins. Those are the wisest. So if you want to join with the wise on this April Fool's Day, please come forward as we stand and sing.